And I want to welcome everyone to another episode on the Five Soulstone Network. This is Brother Seth. And folks, we have an exciting, informative show for you today. Oh, my goodness. We have the one and only Mrs. Islam Shalal in the house, a very respected attorney in African circles and really all over, since she's a world traveler. And she's going to be talking about the Sudan crisis. Where is the global outrage, folks? Where is the global? Where is the world on this? Where is the outrage? There is so much attention paid to Israel and the Gaza saga, and it should be. And, of course, the Russian and the Ukraine war, no doubt, definitely need attention. But are you aware there's thousands upon thousands of people already have died since the war started in Sudan? 25 million people needing aid immediately. Humanitarian aid has only reached 4 million. And then there's the rape of many, many women, thousands of women reported rape or sexually assaulted, one or the other. 7 million people displaced. Folks, we have a catastrophe going on. We have a humanitarian urgent matter that we need, that needs attention. And so what better time than to have a podcast? Of course, you know, wrong here on the Five Cents on Network, we talk about everything. So what better time than to talk about the Sudan crisis? And so I have on someone I think that is very savvy as to what's going on, not just in the politics as we see it and what the media is willing to speak about, but we have on a very intelligent, sharp young lady, and I'm going to bring her on here in a second when she is ready. You got your Facebook ready. So, brothers and sisters, again, I want to thank you for the Five Soulstone Network. Yes, we've been away for a while, and we're going to have the Facebook Live audience join us here in a second. Right now, this is just Blog Talk Radio listeners, and we'll have the Facebook Live audience join us here secondly, but we'll be on video here in a little bit. But I just wanted to just play a little bit of this song because, you know, on Facebook, you can't play music. And so that's just the way it is, folks. So I just wanted to, again, come on here because we have such an urgent matter. I have spent many time praying over this issue. I have spent many hours just thinking about how I was going to do this show. And I do mean many hours because I've just been just quietly, you know, I do, y'all know I work. Some of y'all know I work anyway. And been a lot of times just thinking about Sudan and who should I get to represent Sudan, and I mean, what people or person could come on. And so I believe the Most High, Yah, some people say Allah, have brought me on a person in this show that's going to really do it justice. So we're going to go ahead and as soon as Miss Islam is ready here, as soon as Miss Islam is ready, we're going to bring her on with the Facebook Live. We're going to all do it at the same time. But I do want to thank those of you that have been tuning into the Five Soulstone Network since 2011. We have had several of you follow us, and we really appreciate it. We really appreciate all of the love you've given us over the years. Some of you have went on to do your own podcast, sharing a lot of the things we talk about, and we really appreciate it. We really do. We have over 600 shows, everybody. We have well over 600 shows, and we are swinging at it. We have hundreds of you follow us, and again, we just thank you. We can't take it for lightly. I wish we had thousands, but we do have hundreds, and I thank the Most High for it. So we're going to go here any second here, and we'll start with the Facebook Live here in a second. One other thing I want to remind everybody is to go ahead at this time and and send the link of the show to your friends and let them know Five Swing Phone Network is on at this time, and we're about to start up this feed with Facebook Live. So we have on, again, sister, our dear sister, Islam Shalal, in the house, and she is a decorated attorney. When I say decorated, I mean decorated. She's done a lot, travel, and she has done so much. And so when I say done so much, she have traveled, she have worked, and I think she said it's been more like 30 countries. No, she's traveled to 30 countries, excuse me, brothers and sisters. She's traveled to more than 30 countries, and she's worked in some of those countries. But she also have one, slowed it down a little bit. Okay, so live is live in her world, in her Facebook Live. So I'm going to go ahead and go live in our world. And here we go. Bear with me for reaching over the camera here. Okay, so again, I want to welcome everyone to this episode. Those of you that are just coming on with Facebook, again, I am Brother Seth, and this is the Five Swing Phone Network, and we are broadcasting somewhere in the United States. And this is my guest that's going to be on today. This is the one and only Islam Shalal. I have to always say her name slow because that law, give me, I want to say loud, but it's Shalal. Pronounce your name properly. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
No, it's not wrong, but just the accent, which is correct because of the vertical graph.
Say it again.
Lamshadad.
Okay. Well, anyway, Ms. Islam Shalal, thank you for tuning in, for being a guest on. And I want to welcome an audience that we normally don't have. This is a brand new audience that we've invited to listen to the show, and they are in the country of, you know what, you probably should go a little bit that way, just a little bit that way, and stay into the mic there. But we're going to have people on, we have people on already listening in the wonderful country of Sudan. Can you believe it? And so, Islam, and that is her name, by the way. How'd you get a name like that, Islam? I mean, that's a religion. I mean, you have a hard time with people, and that.
Yeah, I think it's a religion because, you know, when you say my
name
is Islam, yeah, that's a religion.
I know.
Yeah. So that's very common in my country, in Arab country, that they live with the religion of Islam.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? It's like...
you say it's very common in Sudan to the name of person.
Yeah, in Sudan and normally in Arab countries, they live with Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more known for boys, not for girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you. Y'all, told y'all I have all kind of friends. You know, I go out of my way to befriend people in other countries. And, you know, for some reason I get part of my shoulder. Maybe I'm just trying not to get too close to you. Okay, but anyway, let's see. You may want to go about an inch that way. Y'all bear with us. We just counting this. There we go. Perfect. Yeah, perfect. So, anyway, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you again for tuning to the Five Swing Phone Network. I've been blogging since 2011. Again, over 600 shows talking about any and everything, controversial things. We tend to talk about topics that the Most High, whom you call Allah, I call Yahweh, or God in the state. There's a lot of things I think he's saying in the earth, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't want to talk about it, and that's what we seem to center around. We don't just create shows just to be controversial. We just talk about things that the Most High really is saying in the earth and really is trying to say in the earth through people. But for some reason, because it's clearly not correct or makes people feel uncomfortable, a lot of people just don't want to talk about it. And what happens is if you keep sweeping these things under the rug that the Most High is trying to get us to talk about,
you wind up with the Sudan crisis.
Yeah.
So you wind up with people dying innocently.
Mm-hmm.
You wind up with people being mistreated. You wind up with the caste system like y'all have. You wind up with the Arabs dominating the South. And I'm going to let you get into that a little bit more. A matter of fact, go ahead and just give everybody just a little bit about what you're going to be talking about. Then I'm going to go through some other preliminaries, and then we'll get into it. So what are you about to get into? Just a little bit, and then I'm going to go to some other preliminaries, and we'll get into it.
Oh, okay. First thing,
what's
important is the history of Sudan, because I guess that there is not people, like, a lot of people know about Sudan and the geographical area,
mm-hmm.
but that in the continent. And I will talk about the conflict and the cause of the conflict, the background, the sequence of the conflict in Sudan, who are the people there, the economic situation and the political situation over there. And also, I would like to talk about how these companies are starting and people displaced and the tools of this war. And the most important thing to me is the women in this war and they paying the price of this war in Sudan. Generally, the citizens of Sudan, they paying the price of this war. But women, they pay it like way more expensive because there is raping accidents in Sudan.
And I hear they're using the tool of war. Yeah,
that's right. That's correct. You know, they came to, like, this conflict is between the armed force and rapid support force. I will talk about this later on what are those two armed in Sudan. Is yours anything?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not in yours.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
We're trying to get the she's letting me know she's helping me with this. Because I'm on her Facebook, folks, everybody, just so y'all know what we're whispering about. I'm on her Facebook that's strictly to the Sudanese, and I'm on my Facebook to Americans and really global. So we have targeted audiences, and so I just want to make sure she's getting all of me and hers. But go ahead.
Yeah. As I said, the women, those are the paying the most expensive price of this war because they're facing a critical situation. In addition to the daily necessary is not available and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They get raped by rapid support force in their houses,
mm-hmm.
and it's a tool that the reports say that, and I believe that is correct. They use the women raping as a tool for these wars.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's very horrible. And there is, you know, that there is no clear statistic about how many women get raped. The numbers we don't know.
That's crazy. Well, anyway, y'all, she's going to go and prepare some things with regards to this show, and she'll be back. I just wanted her to just say hi to y'all, and then we're going to go ahead and just give her a minute, and she's going to come right back. Right. Okay, so again, everybody, that's the one and only Miss Islam Shalal, and she'll be right back. Just got to do a few things here and getting ready for the show. So you can go ahead. All right. So, brothers and sisters, what does this all mean? You know, at the end of the day, some of y'all are probably saying, what can we do? What can you do? So what, you got this this podcast and, you know, but Seth, at the end of the day, what can you do? You can't stop these people. This is a very powerful people. And you're probably saying, what can you do? Well, brothers and sisters, let me just say this to you. We are no joke when we are following the Most High. Okay? You never know who can listen to this podcast. You never know what people have at their arsenal. Maybe you feel like you're powerless, but brothers and sisters, we have friends. We have friends that have friends, and sometimes it can be a phone call to this particular humanitarian effort, let me just say it like this. never underestimate the power of the Most High. It's just that simple. I mean, the Father is real. His power is real.
And in Islam, they call this God, this Elohim, Allah. He is real. He has sent his word in the world. And I do believe God's name, let's just go ahead and get this out of this elephant out of the room, because I know I'm talking to people in the West, and we want to be involved. So I got to hit this, got to talk about this really briefly before we bring on the one and only, again, Miss Islam Shalom. Folks, listen. Let's quit playing with it. Allah is the God of the Old Testament. Yes, he is. Abraham is the same Abraham. When they talk about Isaac, it's the same Isaac, y'all. Quit playing with it, okay?
And I want to make it heard on Facebook here. Why that is like that.
Okay. I'm just going to move over here until she comes. So, yeah, your Facebook is picking up the sign, but that's okay.
That's okay. You probably want to take it down, to be honest. Take it down, put it back up. I'm serious, okay? We're trying not to let y'all know where we at. So, because privacy, okay? This is a very sensitive topic, and we just really, really, really want to nail it. So, brothers and sisters, listen. We cannot discount what the Father can do through us. We cannot discount what the Father can do through us. We cannot discount what the Father can do through our friends, our connections. We just cannot discount what the Father can do, period. He is powerful. He loves us. He cares about the people of Sudan. Yes, he does. And he wants them free. He wants them free. He wants them, he doesn't want the United Arab Emirates. I'm trying to be politically correct, but I just got to call it the way it is. Hopefully Islam can deal with me, because we don't play on this network, okay? I'm going to call it what it is. It is straight-up racism as to why the people are going hungry in Sudan. It is straight-up racism as to why the people are being oppressed in Sudan. Had that been a white country, they would not be going through the things they're going through. It's just all there is to it. They just don't value Sudanese life. That's all there is to it. They're being raped by everybody. And we're talking about China. We're talking about United States. We're talking about definitely United Arab Emirates. The Arabs are, I mean, from Egypt, you just name it. They are mistreating, they are butchering, they are discriminating on the people of Sudan. And I think it's horrible, and I think they're going to have to give an account to the Most High. So when Ms. Islam comes back here in a little bit, we're going to deal. I just want to just remind everybody again, follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us, please follow us wherever you see the Five and Stone Network. We're going to be going to YouTube here shortly. We're already on YouTube, but when you do see us on YouTube, follow us, because we're trying to make a difference. So the Bible says that the truth will make us free, and it doesn't matter what religion you're in. The truth do make you free in Islam. The truth do make you free. If it's truth, it's going to make you free. All there is to it. So I, again, want to thank you for your time. I think Ms. Islam is ready. She's ready to come back. And so I'm going to play a little that she, this is a gentleman she likes. Before she comes, I want to just play a little bit of this, because it's not all about American music. So we're going to play a little bit of some Sudanese tune. And y'all tell me what you think of this gentleman here. This is Mohammed Abdel Aziz. I'm sure she's going to fry me or laugh at me when she get back, because that is probably not the way you pronounce it. But anyway, this is something a little different for you Americans that haven't quite heard Sudanese sound. But check this out, and bring on. Thank you.
turn it down a little bit. Let it play a little bit in the background. All right. I think she's coming now. All right. Okay. What do you think of that? You like that guy, right?
You know, everybody is going to like this guy. He's from us. He passed away in 2013.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's broken. He's not even a lot of people.
You like him? Yeah. Yeah, well, go ahead and stall with Sudan, but Americans that are watching, they're saying things like, oh, that's an Islamic country, they're always fighting, that's just what they do. There's a lot of Americans that don't really respect, don't really value African life for whatever reason, they just don't. It's just, it's racist. So educate these people and let them know just how wealthy Sudan was and how Sudan's wealth would dwarf America's wealth back in the day. I mean, you know, this is folks, we're talking about thousands and thousands of years of roots. Go ahead. Just let us know the history and bring us up to date.
Okay, first of all, this is for the, now the Catholic in Sudan has nothing to do with the religion, has nothing to do with Islam. It's purely conflict of, power. It's like power struggle. It has nothing to do with the religion. And Sudan, of course, Sudan one of the special countries that contains the Arab African culture. And so in Sudan, we speak two languages. The first one and the formal one is Arabic, and the second one is English. Sudan has really special political location, boundary, Arab world in North Africa and in South Sahara. It has area about 1.88 million square kilometers, and it was the largest country in Africa before the independence of South Sudan. And after its independence of South Sudan 2011, it's the third country.
I think it's the size of Texas. I looked at the measurements. I think it's like the size of Texas. A little bit larger.
A little bit larger of South of Texas. That's correct. Now it's the third biggest country after Algeria or Congo in Africa. And it's...
what's the largest?
Algeria in Africa.
Algeria.
Yeah.
What's the second?
Congo.
Congo with all the rubber and all the resources. I think Congo has the most resources, but go ahead.
Yes. But we know we are in Sudan. We know we have similar resources, but the main resource that we have is the gold and, of course, the agricultural land.
Gold.
In the west. Close to the area of Darfur. I know that's the reason.
China was buying a lot of gold.
Yeah, China or Russia.
Yeah.
China or Russia behind this gold. We have actually big famous mountain of gold in west area. The Darfur area is the biggest gold mountain in Africa.
When you talk about gold, it's a whole other level of gold. China was sending airplanes, filling it up with, they took a mountain. They literally took a mountain. China, actually.
Raw material. They took it from the mountain. And, of course, they have to mention Russia.
Yeah.
The China, Russia, and the mainly is Russia. They took the mountain of gold from West Sudan directly to Russia.
Filling plane loads.
Yeah, that's correct.
Probably just getting the dirt, just putting the dirt in there, they'll look through it later.
Going through the formal canals that is supposed to be going through.
Okay, go ahead. Let me distract. Go ahead.
Okay, it's bordered with seven countries.
Just real quick, because I want people to understand that, you know, as a host, you've got to ask questions that people are thinking. And I know some of y'all are saying, why should I piss me off?
Sudan is wealthy, folks. I mean, like, y'all think Saudi Arabia is wealthy? Sudan is all kind of stuff. Saudi Arabia have oil. You know, a lot of those United Arab Emirates, they have a lot of oil in that area. Sudan got oil plus. So, just know.
Oil. The supply land, we know that the food security now is a world concern now. Sudan can cover like 30% of the world need of food can get from Sudan.
Say it again.
30% of the food the world can get from Sudan.
She's saying the world.
Okay. So I told you about the pronunciation, the accent. Yeah, remember I'm from Africa.
You're good. The word. That's the new word for world. Word.
Yeah, word.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and gold, of course, and agricultural land. Yeah, that's it.
And y'all, excuse me, I forgot to kind of mention this in the intro. What happened is we have a little trouble with this whole makeshift setup we got here, and just a few things I forgot that I normally do when I first do these shows with Islam. And that is how I met her. I met Islam by working with her, and she has not been in the United States that long. And so she came through where I work, doesn't matter where it is. And I used to talk to her about her and about, I don't know, 8 other people from various countries. And I just thought it was fascinating. But when she came, she hasn't been there that long, her knowledge is just crazy. And I don't know if you mentioned that, but because we're going a little fast, and it's my fault. But let everybody know some things about you. Why some of the reason I said I want to bring you on, because your attorney, working in Japan, different. Let them know a little bit about you, because people are probably wondering, why should I listen to you? How do I know you guys know what you're talking about? I mean, Sudan is really, really huge. A lot of wealth, a lot of resources. Who are you to speak on Sudan? Let them know some of your credentials, please.
Okay, I'm an attorney in my home country, Sudan. I have experience, career of 16 years of experience. I work as a corporate attorney in different companies and multinational companies inside Sudan and outside Sudan. And I'm volunteer in different organizations in Sudan, that's including education for the girls from age of 5 to 15 as a literacy teacher. Also, work traveler. I have a lot. I met a lot, and I have a lot. And I've been in Sudan in different states, and I see, you know, I see the crisis in Sudan, not just from media or newspaper or whatever. I was in the land, seeing that in the land. Actually, I'm not political, but I'm activist of human rights. And I'm here because I want to show and I want to make a statement for people like that. My country is going through a hard time. My country is going through crisis. My country is going through a humanitarian crisis. And
you worked in Japan.
That's it's a leading tobacco company, an IT and telecom company, leading IT and telecom company.
What you do for?
I was the legal counsel for both of these companies. I work in the Middle East in law firms. I work in oil and gas, also oil and gas industry. I was a legal counsel for all these industries. It's a different industry. Oil and gas, telecom, IT, tobacco, and legal services.
And you've been, she was telling me, y'all, the reason I'm saying is because she one of them people, she sounds like brother said, I don't like to boast, but I do like to say where I've been. She was working with us, when we talk with the people that work, and he just very seldom tell you stuff. You have to kind of pull it out of him. I was saying, you should really say that more. People will take you more serious when they know that you've been where.
Okay, I've been selected as the most powerful African attorney in my that was in 2019.
Okay.
That was 2019, yes.
There was an article where it's talking about the 500 most powerful attorneys in the continent, not country, continent, like 45 nations. And she was selected as one of the top attorneys. But go ahead.
Yes. What else that I have to remember?
So the reason why I'm saying it, because people, that's just how they are. So we can get into the meat of the matter, but I just want them to let them know that you've been around the block. You don't have to name all the 30 countries, but y'all, a lot of countries, especially in Africa. It's all over Africa. But go ahead with the beginning, because what we're going to do, brother and sister, we're going to talk about, we're going to break this up into four parts. We're going to talk about early Sudan, and well, you tell them what you're going to do, how you're going to go about it. I can't interrupt you. Just jump back in. I just wanted to just blow a whistle or just let people know how we met, number one, and your credentials, number two. It's very important to get the credence, to get the people at least to listen. Okay, so go right ahead. My bad.
Okay. You know, it's very important to me to give a background about Sudan, because as you just said, is they consider it is like this African country in Africa.
Right.
Yeah, but you know the location of Sudan, the population, and the geopolitical location, especially of Sudan, that makes Sudan important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's full of resources,
mm-hmm.
It's not used resources yet. And, you know, we have big lands, but the population is still, is few. Like, the population is 46 million. 46 million is 41% of them is under the age of 15, and 20% of them is the age between 15 and 24. As 31% of them is from 25 to 54, and 4% only is from age of 55 to 64.
Wow.
Yeah, and a huge country with these resources and with this population, of course, it gets the site.
Wow. Okay, so let's work on that. So I want to add to this really quickly, because again, Islam has a, I'm thinking, again, to their own horn, but Sudan, the Sudanese people, I'm thinking of a professor friend of ours. He is a professor. He was a professor in Sudan. He's another person I work with. This is the result of a lot of conversations at work, to be honest, when we're not busy, of course. But y'all listen. You should read your Bibles. This land is bordered to Eritrea.
With 7 countries, Eritrea, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Central Africa Republic, Chad, Libya, and Egypt.
And a professor friend of mine, who I won't mention his name because he didn't tell me to mention his name, but he says, I am the people of Kush. The history in this region trumps anybody in the world. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years, dynasties. The richest man that ever lived is either Solomon or Manda, I can't think of his name, Manda Musa, who was from this area. We're talking about showing up well. I look at her ring and stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, he probably, I'm going to put on the spot, but I bet you she don't wear a fake gold. But my point is, y'all, it's not just about the resources. This is where history was carved.
Yes.
This is where civilization was made. These are the people of the Bible. Sudan is a new name. Ethiopia, all these people is connected, this area. This is where...
It used to be one country, but they did. Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Eritrea, it used to be one country. Mm-hmm. It's a land of black people.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Sudan is, in Arabic, it's Al-Sudan. That means land of black people.
Mm-hmm.
So all this area was one country or is ruled by one king. Now is they consider it is like South Egypt, because now they split the whole area to countries,
mm-hmm.
Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Eritrea. But before the birth of Sayyidina Isa, Jesus, that was one country and it's ruled by one king. In Egypt.
Okay. I'm just trying to get you more in the picture for your Facebook Live. Oops. Sorry, everybody. But anyway, you can adjust. I want you to get your face more in it. See her Facebook. There you go. Exactly. Good. Boom. So anyway, brothers and sisters, if you tune in late, this is the Five Star Song Network. I'm Brother Seth. Over 600 shows so far. Today is another exciting show. What we're dealing with, the Sudan crisis, the war in Sudan. And I don't know if you know it or not, but there's thousands, there's over 14,000 people there, folks. 25 million people needing help, real help. And so hopefully this can encourage some of our people in the to get involved. You know, you're going to let me turn that on. But hopefully... that hopefully some of y'all can, those of you that work with a lot of the humanitarian organizations such as the Red Cross and all of the different humanitarian agencies, hopefully you can understand the
coordinating.
But brothers and sisters, many of you have different types of resources. We have all types of people listening. I know for a fact that Boston's on network, just with all types of listeners. So I just want to just present a show today to show you an emergency. Folks, we have a Rwanda situation going on in Sudan, really. And folks, listen, if we don't do something, I want her eventually, not now, but she's going to eventually get to how the communication is shut down to where they can't get aid in to help. I said they can't get aid in to help.
Yes, that's correct.
So what's happening is people are resorting to these satellites that's up there. Some people own satellites, yes, they do, and they're able to get messages out. Just like us doing this Facebook, some people are able to get on Facebook, and so that's what we're doing. So Sudan has, Islam have invited many of her friends to listen, who's going to be sharing this link. And so... what are they sharing? They're just sharing a number one. We want to just let them know that from the States, we care. That's first rule. We love them, the second rule. And that there is a God, which a lot of them already believe in God. But I know sometimes when you look up Islam and you see all of these things happening, you wonder, where is your God? You wonder, where is Allah? And, again, we're not here to debate belief systems, anything like that, because I just believe at the end of the day, and I know she said this is not based upon faith, but I just believe at the end of the day, it's about whether or not you trust the Most High.
Yes.
And anyway, so I just want to thank those of you just tuning in all late for tuning in finally, but this is my guest we have on. And I'm saying this because we see people tuning in. But my guest, again, is an attorney, established attorney from the motherland, now residing here in the States. I recently met her not too long ago, and she's been educating me and anybody else that listens about the state of the Sudan. So I'm going to go ahead and pick up again. We're going to talk about the history. It's coming your way. We're going to talk about the different coups that go on in
that have went on in Sudan. We're going to talk about the two generals that have split the country right down the middle with their egos. We're going to talk about how those two generals have been used by the West and the Arabs. It's racism, folks. At the end of the day, it's racism. It's all there is to it. It's about what they've been doing all over the motherland, just exploiting it, raping it, country by country by country. And it may look like two generals is the problem, but two generals is not the problem. White supremacy is the problem. White supremacy is the problem. So go ahead, Islam, pick up.
Okay, let me first give you a background about the conflict in Sudan.
Okay.
This conflict primarily is for a struggle between the leaders of Sudanese armed forces and paramilitary group known as Rapid Support Force. These forces were originally militia, but they were formed and recognized in 2013 under the armed force law when Omar al-Bashir, that was Omar al-Bashir, Omar al-Bashir.
Oh, Omar al-Bashir.
Omar al-Bashir, yeah.
That was the original leader.
Yeah, this is the previous leader. When he was the president, with the aim of protecting him from that called revolution.
Now, I want y'all to listen to this. This is the kind of stuff that had a lot of people paying her homage at the office because of what she's about to share.
Yes, because he formed this militia to protect him from the revolution in the war, and he was also aware that this revolution spread to the Khartoum, the capital, and other states in Sudan. Later turned into a war between the government and the armed movement, known as Darfur War. But this situation did not last long because in 2018, it took place against the revolution took place against Omar al-Bashir. In the capital of Khartoum and overthrew the rule of Omar al-Bashir in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. So after that, you know, the Rapid Support Force it was formed and led by Hemeti, Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo, known as Hemeti.
So say his name again. He's known by Hemeti, that's his nickname, but his former name is?
Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo.
Delgado.
Dagalo.
Dagalo. Dagalo. I have a supervisor named Dagalo. The reason I said that, I really do have a supervisor named Dagalo.
You have a supervisor?
Not now, but I used to work. Oh, God. Anyway, so just so you know, that is a real name. But his name is Degallo.
Degallo.
Degallo, okay.
How he treat you?
He was a good guy.
He was a good guy.
His name was Degallo. This is Degallo. It's something different.
Oh, okay.
Crazy man.
But we talk about different Degallo. He's not a nice man at all.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Yeah.
Listen to this, y'all. This deep. I know we're laughing here, but listen to what has happened. This right here will baffle your mind. You think these people in the West is doing a number on non-white people? Listen to what these generals are doing to Africans. Those of you in love with the motherland, and you should be in love with the motherland, but you got to know the enemy is real. He can use anything, and it's not based on skin color. The enemy is dividing us down the lines of color, which is no such thing as a race based on color, but just watch what she's about to share.
So the revolution took out the Omar al-Bashir, and the Rapid Support Force was formed in 2013, joined the revolution in the capital of Khartoum, and the leader of Hemeti, Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo, he joined also the revolution, and his forces and he joined the revolution in capital of Khartoum, and he's saying that he supports the revolution and he supports the choice of people of Sudan for civilization and democratic, and that's what he said in the first time when he came and joined the revolution in Sudan. Following the uprising that Omar al-Bashir removed of the Sudanese military, the armed forces, and the rebel support forces, the leader leading by Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, and
Hamidi, because you said just say Hamidi.
I don't know if
they just sound black. They sound Texas. Just say Hamidi.
And then the
two generals, one of them Hamidi, who supposedly is a bad guy, and Al-Burhan.
Burhan.
We ain't gonna never say it like that. So just okay, Burhan.
Okay.
Right. So Hamidi Al-Burhan.
I don't know if the people, they know his nickname.
Hamidi.
Hamidi.
That's what I'm telling y'all right now. Mr. Dagalo.
Dagalo
is also known as Hamidi.
Hamidi.
So all over the world, you're going to hear him called Hamidi. Hamidi. Same person. A devil. Go ahead.
You know, I'm telling you what. Hamidi, he was the leader of rebel support force. This rebel support force is said as Janjaweed. They are a group of armed robbery gangs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the root of this forest. And al-Bashir, he used this forest, and later he recognized it and established it under the armed forest law.
Mm-hmm.
And it became mainly military just to protect him in Darfur, and to protect his power in Darfur. And, you know, and al-Bashir, he's proudly keeps saying that Hamidi is my right hand in the west area of Sudan. You know, and he used him burning the village, you know, looting the houses, display of the people in Darfur, raping the woman in Darfur. He used him for all this. And when the revolution started in 2018, Hamidi, he joined the revolution in the capital of Khartoum.
That's okay. Keep going.
Yeah, he joined the revolution in Khartoum, and he's saying that he's a part of the democracy, and I'm a part, and I will support the revolution, and I will support the people of Sudan's choice for civilian government. And, you know, he was against Omar al-Bashir, the person who formed him in the first place. You know, it's like...
So, you got two generals. What she's saying is Omar, she's talking about one gentleman that was over in Sudan for 30 years. All right? Al-Burhan created a coup that over...
No, just let me get... Al-Bashir, he was in power with military coup from 1989 till 2019. That is a 30 years period. During all this period, he formed the rebel support force, previously known as Janjaweed.
Janjaweed. Remember that name? They're all over the news. Janjaweed.
Janjaweed, the rebel support force, is different, two different names for the same force. It's established and formed for one purpose, to get control of revolution in west of Sudan, Darfur area. And this became a war, and later known as Darfur War, that was between the government and the people of Darfur. And the people of Darfur was behind armed movement. Its armed movement was sound of people of Darfur. So Darfur war was a government against the armed group in Darfur. And al-Bashir at that time, when he formed the rebel support force in 2013, the purpose of that is to protect his power and to protect his chair from the revolution in Darfur. So he wants to stop the revolution coming to the capital. And he doesn't want no one to take out his is powerful in. During that time, the Rapid Support Force is tagged as Janjaweed. People of Darfur, they know Janjaweed very well, because Janjaweed is formed of armed robbery groups, you know. And unfortunately, they use it. Their history is a very bad history. They have war crimes,
mm-hmm.
Human crimes, you know, suicide, that's all in there for. They raping women, they burning the villages in Darfur, they display people.
Now, somebody listening again, a good host is going to ask questions of people that are thinking this. How do we get to where it is? We're building, folks. So some of y'all know the news, and you're saying they're not getting up to. We got to lay all this down, because right now it looks like the people of Sudan is just war thirsty. Everybody killing each other. Very few nice people. Some of y'all are just that ignorant. I talk to some of y'all. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. These people are sitting on some of the world's most precious resources. They could feed the whole world. You heard it said it. That one country. Now, on top of that, they got the oil. They got gold. They got all types of. They got this one gum that's really good. They use it for technology to do a lot of cell phones and stuff. I hope they talk about the junk, the gum.
For a lot of manufacturer products,
mm-hmm.
around the world, and Sudan is the only source for this Arabic gum, called Arabic gum.
Arabic gum.
Yes.
So you probably never even heard of that, but the Egyptians have. So my point is, we're gonna get up to point to where you see your country, the United States, and those of you in Europe, you're gonna see a lot of your European country, especially France, getting a piece of Sudan. And in favor of these generals, one or the other, for the purpose of basically thievery. It's like, again, I talked with several people from Sudan. She's just one, which I think is probably the most educated of the group, but there's mothers. And there was one professor I spoke with that was letting me know that the West and Europeans favor these military-style governments, because if they ever put a lot of these choices before the people, or these business deals before the people that they have with China and the West and the Arabs, up Sudan would say no, astoundingly. But as long as you got these individuals, these little military single people, you can control them by offering them wealth even in America or even in China. So go ahead. I just wanted to say that we're building up to what's happening today. Go right ahead.
I want to mention something about that. Later, when this militia is recognized as military with the help of Omar al-Bashir,
mm-hmm.
later it's like this force was a guard for the borders to prevent migrants.
Immigration.
Yeah. Immigration.
I laugh at her. She laughed at me too, though. But everybody talk about her voice, speak at work. But anyway. By the way, we don't work together no more. So that's another reason I'm doing this show, because I don't want to get away too far. I want to extract from her some of the things she shared with us on the job, but go ahead.
So it's implementation of agreements between the European Union and African countries to protect the borders from the immigration movement, because, you know, Sudan has too many borders with too many countries, so they use the Rapid Support Force for this purpose too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm just going to make sure. Good. This one comes through her. All right. So, brothers and sisters, I want to kind of recap what we're talking about.
So why don't you do the recap, and why don't you tell everybody what you said, what you're saying now, and where you're going? I just want everybody to be clear on what we're, because, you know, you have that accent. I want to make sure everybody is, so whatever you said, just kind of recapping, because, again, we're getting people in, all, and we're getting new listeners in all the time. We can't cater to them totally, but I do want them to kind of know what's going on. So what have you said from the beginning up until now? Recap kind of what you're talking about.
Okay, I talk about the background of the conflict in Sudan. I talk about the rapid support force, how it formed, and what like its role in Darfur war, and what its role in protecting Omar al-Bashir power at that time. And I talked about the crime of rapid support force, none before as Janjaweed in Darfur.
And again, Janjaweed and RSF is?
It's a two different name for the same military,
okay.
For the same militia. It's not a military, it's a militia.
Okay, now let's switch gears and let's talk about how we got to today.
As I mentioned earlier, that there is a revolution took place in Khartoum, that throughout...
Khartoum is a major, it's like the capital of...
It's the capital of Sudan.
Khartoum.
Yeah, it's the capital of Sudan, and it has the most government organization and institutes and ministries in Khartoum. So this revolution took place in Khartoum.
Mm-hmm.
And the rapid support force joined that revolution later.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw out the Omar al-Bashir in April 2019. Following the uprising that led al-Bashir removal, the Sudanese military, now the leader is al-Burhan, and coalition of the civil groups united under the force of freedom and change, established transitional government lead the country towards democratic and civil government when al-Burhan was appointed as a chairman of the Sovereignty Council, and MET was appointed as deputy chairman of the Sovereignty. And the prime minister at that time is Abdullah Hamadouk.
Okay. Who's that?
He's the prime minister for the civilian government after the revolution.
Okay. So
this is the first civilian government after the revolution. Al-Burhan, the leader of the armed force, he's the chairman of the Sovereignty Council. Hemeti, Mohamed Hamdan Daglo, is the deputy chairman of the Sovereignty Council. And Abdullah Hamadouk was the prime minister of Sudan.
Now, as she talks, I want you all to understand something I'm thinking, okay? She's from Sudan, very new to this country. I'm from America. And I'm going to tell you all what I'm thinking, and you tell me in the chat room there. And again, we're going to thank you for tuning into this program. I'm Brother Seth, or Seth, some of y'all call me, and we have, again, this attorney here, Islam Shalal. And we are swinging, talking about what's happening in Sudan. I'll take a little break here in a second, but I just want to just tell y'all what I'm thinking. And when we come back, we're going to dig deep into this. This is what I'm thinking. Number one, there's no way two Sudanese men is going to rip apart their country. There's no way Hemeti, who is painted as the bad guy globally, I'm in the West, and Hemeti is the bad guy. If I was in the other part of the world, Al-Burhan may be the bad guy. I know how this works. I do think Hemeti, both of them are bad. Both of them don't deserve to be president or leader, and they probably deserve death, to be honest with you, because they have caused a lot of problems. Let me tell you what I believe. I don't think either one of them want to destroy Sudan. I think they're either being threatened or they're either being bribed, a bribery that
very few people can turn down. This is how they've been doing with Africa for a very long time. This is my opinion, not its long opinion. She may say something different. This is what I believe. I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe there's such thing as evil spirits, real spirits that do not have bodies, and they embody people. Now, these two leaders can be full of just straight-up pure evil with nobody influencing them, but I kind of doubt that because the people could rise up. I think the West, China, Russia, Arabs, is extracting different things from their relationships with these either one of the men. You got Al-Burhan, Al-Burhan, and he's in the bed supposedly with, you talked about it.
Yes.
And then Amiri is over here, and he is in, the Arabs is in his pockets. So you look up, and he's funding different Arab events. He's taking, these folks have, y'all, I don't think y'all understand how much resources these people have, and there aren't the thousands. How many soldiers does Hamidi have right now?
Right now, according to reports, the latest reports from the UN is 100,000. It started with 4,000, and now it's 100,000.
So Hamidi has 100,000. He has mountains of gold all over the place. He can, because certain parts of Sudan he controls, and he's able to just spin.
You know, this is the problem. Let me tell you. This is the problem. Now that we're facing, I told you, this is a struggle of power, a struggle of power. But, you know, Hamidi, with these numbers of soldiers, or this number of recruits, with the source of the biggest gold mountain, you know, he feels power.
Yes,
you know, he feels that I can take control of this country. And you know what? The biggest mistake is happening from Al-Burhan, because Al-Burhan, he gave him a chance that during the revolution, the people of Sudan, the people of Sudan keep saying that, and I'm one of them, is we want a civil government. We want a civil to take lead of the country. And we want the rapid support force and the army, like, to become one army. There is no more rapid support force. There is no military. Like, there is no country in the world have two militaries. Only in Sudan, the rapid support force and the armed force.
And you know, that brings us another point. Oh, that's all, okay? That brings us another point. Folks, listen. Did y'all know that after in 2011, they became North to South?
Yes, 2011.
So the country was split. What country do you know? Probably Germany, East and West Germany. But I'm just saying, what country split? And they split, basically. Go and check out the history. It's really racism. They just don't say it like that. They had people down south that was more African and believed more in African traditions. Some was Muslim, some was Christian, but there were a lot of African traditional belief systems. And then up north was ghetto Arabs. Matter of fact, it's funny because I used to, y'all just got to know me. You know, at work, I laugh a lot. And so when I met her, there's other African people that work there, and they're all dark like this. And she showed up, and she's from Sudan. So I'd be at work, and I'd be trying to talk to her, and I'd be like, how do we can trust you? You look like those Arabs that light-skinned oppressing our people. So comment on that. How did you end up faded?
You know what? In Sudan, we are fellows.
You must say faded. That means faded.
Yes. Yes, I'm not ashamed, actually. But in Sudan, you know, we are colorful country. You can find the white, the black, the brown, the very dark black, the very light white. And, you know, even you can see that one with the blonde hair. We're because, you know, the immigration from Arab countries and African countries, you know, we're mixed. We're a mix of African Arab country.
Yeah, this is getting good, y'all. But you do know how you winded up losing Pigmentation, right?
Yes.
No, for real, how? She's a melanin. We're going melanin now with my melanin. But y'all, believe it or not, it's kind of funny, and I'm trying to make the show a little light too. But at the end of the day, it ain't funny because this is why they're fighting. It's called the color. It's a philosophy about dark skin. In her country, there's a lot of light-skinned Arabs that make fun of dark skin. But watch this. There's a lot of dark-skinned Arabs or dark-skinned non-Arabs that talk about dark skin. I said, let me repeat that. There's people that look like her that say, why are you going out with him? Or males, her hue, light-skinned male Arabs, say, why are you going out with this dark-skinned Arab? Christians, light-skinned, saying, why are you going out with that dark-skinned Christian? Dark-skinned Christians making fun of their own dark skin, thinking this is pretty. A skin whitening. I just saw an article on skin whitening in Sudan. Sudan? Listen, it's sick. We're laughing, but it ain't funny. There's a philosophy, and it has to do with, that's what that whole Darfur, I'm always thinking, you know, these words, it's just, anyway. But that's what it was all about, supremacy. But I brought the question of, do you know why you're light-skinned? It has to do with the Crusades. Millions, not a million, millions of people come down from the north and wreak havoc upon that area. But they was mainly sent to Jerusalem. But they spread out even from Jerusalem to Egypt and all those areas. Think about the millions of white people coming.
That's why I have to say we're mixed, because we mix with Arab, Egypt, Libya, Morocco. You know, there is three countries split from Sudan to Morocco, but still there is Sudanese married to Moroccan. Yemen, and you know, the African region, like the Balata, Hausa, all this is a tribe from Chad. But we married to these tribes from Chad.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're still Sudanese people. They get married from this. So we're mixed. You can find all the colors in Sudan.
Right.
All the colors.
And y'all, I want y'all to understand my heart. I'm not trying to belittle or anything. I just want y'all to understand, because we're getting to the bottom of this. We're talking about Hamidi and Abu Han and all these people. Those are the generals that's just they got forces and they're killing each other. The forces are fighting each other, but the forces are going to the neighborhoods, to innocent civilians, and they're raping, and not just raping women, but raping resources. Sudan is turned upside down because of these two people. These two people are playing a part. I believe they're commissioned by other forces to do what they're doing. And I'm not going to say they're telling their guys go rape people. What they're saying is the powers that be know, in order to maintain power, they're going to have weapons. So they provide for them weapons. And these generals are calling for help. Hamidi called for his relatives, and thousands of them. They came, and that ended up, once people saw Hamidi had thousands, they wanted to join, and he had the weapons provided to him by these players I'm talking about. I mean, these handlers I'm talking about. And so, of course, Al-Burhan had the resources of Sudan. And so,
I believe that there is a report saying that it's called Al-Bashir party is behind Al-Burhan, and it's still they're thinking to go back to the the power of Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the movement by Al-Burhan is orders from the Al-Bashir party.
So I said all that to say, we could take a little break if we'd like, or play a little music and just kind of get something to drink or whatever. But folks, are you hearing what we're saying? Are you hearing what we're saying? Now, I don't know if it's because we're on camera. I'm going to put you on blast. That means I'm about to put you where you can't run, you guys. Now, when we're not on camera, this lady right here, Miss Islam Shalal, the attorney, one of Africa's finest, tells me who's behind the different parties. So I want you to talk about that. Who's behind Hamidi? Who's behind Al Bashan? Bashan. His name got reached Bashan today. Go ahead. Bashan. I'm going to write his name down. Go ahead.
Okay, as I told you, Al-Burhan, we believe that Al-Bashir Party, Islamic Party in Sudan, is behind Al-Burhan. And what he's doing now is orders from Al-Bashir Party, because they're thinking to go back to the power after the people of Sudan, took him over. Hamidi, he gets support from UAE. Because the UAE policy is fighting the Islamic parties in Arab countries, and based on that, and according to that, we support Hamidi because Hamidi is now fighting the armed forces, and Hamidi believes that what we believe is Islamic Party or Al-Bashir Party is behind Al-Burhan. So based on that, the UAE support the rapid support force and Hamidi is through other borders with weapon, with logistics, like food and all that stuff, and also with operation trucks and all that.
That's deep. Repeat that. That was good. Say that again. I want people to hear this. Now listen, there's two generals. There's 10,000 people that have died, murdered. I hear that the RSF and going into these houses and gathering the men. And I know you're saying, that's Sudan, that's Muslim, blah, blah, blah. Some of y'all Christians are saying that. Not to dog you out. But what I'm saying, a lot of Christians see Sudan, I've talked to them, and said, well, that's just them, that's how they are in the Muslim world, that's just the Muslim world. Listen, it could be your family, is what I'm trying to say. It could be your family. They go into these houses, they order the men out in the streets.
And they
shoot the men.
And they rape the women.
And they rape the women. Do you care? Does that mean anything to you? That's why we're doing this podcast today. We want to educate you of the glory of Sudan, the early governments of Sudan. It hasn't always been this rocky. It's just when the West grows to power and they start having need for oil and China have the need for oil and this and that, they start looking in Russia, start looking for these resources. They find themselves in Africa, and they start to pitting one part of the government against the other. And that's why people say, all the African leaders are corrupt. It's not that they're corrupt in heart. It's just that they have to go up against bullies that can threaten their life. They can wipe their whole country off the map in one day or one week of war. And you have never been in that situation. If you was in that situation and the West came knocking on your door and saying, this is what you will do, what would you do? You're going to be just a martyr? No, you're not. So that's why a lot of these generals wind up corrupt. So United States citizens looking at this broadcast, your tax dollars have helped fund what we are looking at today in Sudan. That's what I'm trying to say. This young lady, Ms. Shalal, is here really by force. Her country is upside down. She left. Didn't you leave there because of the country's condition? Okay. So technically, you stole her. I want you to listen to me. Because you're not supposed to be here. You're here building this wealth because we destabilized your country. So if your country would have been left alone, you wouldn't be sitting here. You are here. Yes, you're making a living for your family, but you probably never thought about it like, you're actually stolen. In other words, we have something, this country has something that is not theirs. You, your family, your husband. You wouldn't be here normally if it wasn't for our greed. So because of our greed, not only you, but that whole, you know, a lot of our friends from other countries here, they didn't choose to be here. They weren't like they broke. Was you trying to break your neck over the wealth in New York and torn jeans and, I don't know, movies? I mean, serious, would you be here if your country was thriving?
No, because, you know, this is the reason that's why I'm here. Security is the reason in my country. And this is not only me. A lot of people, now 8 million of Sudanese displaced from their houses to neighboring countries.
And the West, you have to be neighboring countries, other countries.
Yeah, that's including Ethiopia, Eritrea, Egypt.
So you got a little money to not to go to the neighboring countries. That's why you're not somewhere in SCAD right now. No, I'm serious. So Islam and the rest of y'all that you know what I'm talking about, some of y'all that work with me. So y'all have money to come here instead of going to your neighboring country. So you should be in SCAD, probably with no shoes on or something, with no shoes on probably.
Anyway. Serious. Let me tell you this. This is very serious.
It is.
You know, it's 8 million people displaced.
8 million people?
Eight million people displaced from their houses. You know, they got been forced, you know, to leave their houses.
Uh-huh.
It's a weapon. And that's what I told you earlier. Raping a woman, one of these tools, you got to go out.
You're using it as a tool of war.
Yeah, you got to go out of your house or we're going to rape your mom.
Yeah. We was at work and somebody was saying something, and a lot of people looked at this lady for direction. I don't know what she do, to be honest. You don't tell me everything, but I know that you got emotional at work because she's hearing of things going down, why it's going down. Just like right now she's on, I'm seeing people log on to her thing and saying different things to her. I don't know if you want to shout out to some of your friends there, but brothers and sisters, again, you've tuned to the Fox News on Network, and we started real slow, just kind of like not jumping into it, but y'all, it is horrible. Name some of the things going on while I prepare for a break. Some of the things that's going on right now.
Right now, what's going on? Oh, okay. Right now, there is no connection in Sudan. Actually, there is certain area that they have connection. The connection and internet connectivity disrupted. And that is in capital of Khartoum. Now I have a family in Khartoum. I haven't heard from them since 5th of February. We don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening to them. You know, we cannot fund them with money. You know, the banks are disconnected. You know, the internet connection, because of the internet connection blackout and because of the internet connection disconnection, the banks app system is down, telephone is down, SMS is down, even the call is down, everything is shutting down. You know, the family now, the family that is still in Sudan, they get funds from their family members who live outside. They send them through the bank apps. Now this bank apps is out of coverage. No access to it. And now this mommy that's sitting with you, I have a family member still in Sudan. We don't know what's happening to them. They're not receiving funds since 5th of February. And the time that before this connection, there is like a public kitchens provide food to the people of the Sudan. This kitchen now is out of service because of the connection because they receive the funds through the bank apps. Now in Ramadan, even we don't know now it's Ramadan, holy of Ramadan, people are fasting, you know, but in Sudan it's like naturally fasting. Because the necessary, also the necessary needs is not reaching Sudan. Either because of the rabbi support force is stopped date and rabbi, or either that people, they have no access to the areas that there is people to give funds. Oh, and of course, during this time, there is no markets, there is no universities and schools. There is 15 million of kids now out in the school. They don't go to school.
15 million?
15 million. Now the schools...
Since April?
Yes, since April last year. Oh. April, yeah, 2023, 15 million of kids are out of school.
Well, brothers, this is going to take a little break. This is we're about to switch gears, and we're going to talk about how to get involved and help people in Sudan. Quit thinking because you're just sitting there, you can't help Sudan. You can help Sudan all kind of way. If you don't do nothing, which is the most powerful thing you can do, not money, it's not billions of dollars, but prayer. You know, there is the Most High. Islam calling him Allah. He is the same God, y'all, the Old Testament. Yes, he is. Let's just pray. Let's pray for Sudan, y'all. We're going to take a little short break, though. We're going to come back, and Islam going to throw it in second gear. You can't miss what's about to happen. Got a little something. Oh, boy, I tell you. This is a gentleman respected by the – I just can't get my mind off. 15 million kids out of school. 15 million. I mean, what are they doing? Are they educating them at home or
– No.
What is it?
There is a personal effort by the parents educating them at home, but of course this is not a formal education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. As we take a break, let's do something a little different here on Five Smooth Stone Network. Because again, like you said, it's not about faith, but at the same time, we need the Most High, don't we? So let's just take a break. And as I play this this Mama Abdel Aziz. Laughing. I didn't say his name right.
Mahmoud Abdel Aziz.
Say it slow.
Mahmoud Abdel Aziz.
Anyway, well, as I play this, in all seriousness, y'all, let's just pray. Whisper up a word of prayer, and we'll be right back. We're not going to play the whole song, but we're going to play a little bit of it. And,
just one comment from a friend of mine. What are the legal steps to prove all the violation and to proceed forward?
This was a question. Why, you want to call a name now?
Yeah, one of my friends, Omar al-Nazir. Yes, what are the legal steps to prove the violation and to proceed forward?
You don't want the attorney, right?
Okay, we go for the break.
This is a question from Sudan, y'all. I think he's in Sudan. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's in Sudan. Now, you know, now that the U.N., the UN Humanitarian Agency, they open up the doors for the recording of the violation happening for the people in Sudan, and they're recording this. If you witnesses, if you see, if you heard, and you have a proof of that, you just talk to the UN organization, Human Council. They take record of that violation and they proceed forward to determine whose responsibilities, how to compensate the victims, and what's the step forward to stop this violation to happen again.
And as to who?
UN Humanitarian Agency, Human Agency Council.
And brothers and sisters, we are probably going to take questions this show because we'll just see how time to. We'll take questions towards the end because this sister has a lot to share, and we will take questions a little later on, okay? So hold your questions till later on if we get around to them, okay? Because we don't mind reading this little short. If you want to type in your questions on the chat room, oops, I think you can do that. And now, y'all forgive me. Hadn't been looking at the chat room, but the chat room is open. You can send messages on Blog Talk Radio's chat room, or you can don't send it to my Facebook because I'm using a camera for that and I can't see it because the way we have this set up. So don't send me any questions. I don't normally read comments when I'm doing Facebook Live anyway. So send you can go to Islam's site and send questions there. So take a little short break. Again, this is one of the most popular voices in Sudan. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. We won't let this whole song play, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes, okay?
And brothers and sisters, we'll let that play in the background. Again, you're tuned to the Five Cent Stone Network. I'm Brother Seth, founder of the network, and we've been doing this since 2011. We have over 600 shows dealing with all types of things. Some things not as controversial. Some things are controversial. We call it Five Cent Stone because in 1988, I asked the Father five questions. I asked Creator five questions. And he gave me five answers, or he gave me answers, I should say, that translated to five topics. I talk about those topics more than anything. Okay? And before we bring on our sister, Islam, hello. I'm going to talk briefly about the Five Cent Stone Network, just really briefly, which is record timing. But I was troubled by some things I was seeing in the United States, racism, and I was, at the time, I was just a lot of our white males. I was listening to everybody. But I listened to a lot of white males probably more than anybody. Don't ask me why I just was, sister. I was listening to a lot of our white brothers and sisters, and the Father revealed to me that a lot of what I was hearing and experiencing was racism. That the people in the West was not God, but yet they was dictating everything about my education. So-called African-Americans in the United States is a product of America. America's very close-minded. They define things disregarding everybody else. We call that white supremacy. And black people in America is born and raised in that. So we really are white people in mind. And the Father let me know that's not his makeup for me, that there was a higher walk, there was a higher standard. So he began to reveal to me, number one, that I was practicing something called white supremacy, something I call, and many of you call white supremacy. That's the closest name for it. And he began to, he began to just rebuke me and tell me I'm looking at everything wrong. The Bible, the characters in the Bible, those Jews in the Bible, the Israelites, he let me know those were people of color. No disrespect to our white brothers and sisters. He also shared with me that I have to love them, love everybody equally. So this is not a hate message, but he began to purge me from the philosophy of white supremacy. And he began to show me how these people, not all whites, but those in power, really influenced by Satan, went around the world poisoning the world with this philosophy that they're superior, redefining things. They go to an area and it's full of people and they say, we discovered it. Columbus discovered America when there's people there. They go places and they rediscover things. They rediscover wealth in Africa and say the Africans are dumb for not using their wealth. Well, just because diamonds are there don't mean you have to be selling them and wear them on your finger. So they say the Africans were dumb. Because they're sitting on oil that can be used, they say the Africans are primitive because they don't even know to use that. Now keep in mind these same Africans ran this planet before it was called Africa. Just ran this planet forever and ever and ever, thousands and thousands of years before Europeans ever wrote their first book. So the Father began to show me the true way to look at the world. And that brings me to the show today. That's the short version. Google Five Cent Stone Blog Talk Radio, and you get my website and click on Introduction to the Five Cent Stone Network. You hear the five questions. I didn't tell you what those were. And the five answers he gave me that led to the five topics we call five smooth stones. So that brings it to today, where we're dealing with a conflict in Sudan that has caused thousands to die, 25 million people displaced. That's one of them right there.
She ain't supposed to be in the United States. She ain't supposed to be still with me in this undisclosed area for security.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be here, y'all. She never thought of it like that. I would just let her know she's stolen. She's supposed to be here. Stolen plane. So you're looking at a lot of Westerners, a lot of foreigners coming here and they're talking about America, great America. And she's is Islam. When we talk, at least the limited conversation we've had, talk to lots of people. Y'all. I keep telling you on the five, some of them, I got friends all over the place. Y'all don't believe me. Well, you just seen one of them. And I got all kinds of friends, have people that travel the world. I have a friend named Reverend Pandy. He's been like 120 countries, so he got you beat. Reverend Pandy's been to like 120 countries for real.
Oh, yeah,
so I've got people like that that's traveling. So because we don't believe the narrative that you hear in the news, and so Islam is back to you. What created these generals and
You know how that's recalled to the forgotten word. Because
what?
The forgotten word.
Forgotten.
Yeah. The forgotten war because no
forgotten war.
Yeah, excuse my accent.
No, you good. She's saying it is the forgotten war. Are you good? It's actually good you have an accent because they know you really from Sudan. She's saying the forgotten war. In the media, CNN, all of them call it forgotten war. It's true. Nobody thinking about it. Then people dying. And you got to look at it like this, Americans and Brits and Italians and Europeans. What if it was your people? That's what made me do this show. These people are dying. You look at her. I know when you pull up Sudan, you see all them dirt roads. You got to explain that to people. Why y'all roads dirt, man? Y'all have no cement. They always in the dirt like they so poor. Well, a lot of y'all don't know this. It's a theological perspective. A lot of Muslims do not believe in modernity, the roads and stuff like we have it. We think we're superior because we have roads. But actually, for your feet to walk on roads like they have is healthier. Actually, for the environment, and I'm looking at this way. Y'all have to forgive me. This camera is here. So just know we got two cameras. So if I'm looking at one, don't get offended. Actually, that's why when you Google Sudan War right now, you see those red roads. They don't believe. And it is causing problems. Y'all know about, you should know about what a lot of cement caused problems for us.
No, I can hear like, Lord, give me a clean word. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I get washed, I clean my clothes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I will be there.
Mm-hmm.
All those people, they see it in the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the situation. And, you know, that's what we call it, the forgotten war. Because the media are not talking about it. And also that's the internet disconnectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a blackout of what's going on in Sudan.
Mm-hmm. So I want to recap. So what happens is Abiture is running Sudan for 30 years. Now, before this knucklehead got in, you got to know these people have stability. Africa hasn't always had these wars like we think. They've been a peaceful continent.
Especially Sudanese people, they are very peaceful. You know, those two leaders,
mm-hmm.
they don't represent us. Those two leaders, they don't represent us. You know, we're very calm people, you know, friendly. Even you go to the street, we are the same people, but those two leaders, they're not representing us.
Wow.
They're not representing the Sudanese culture. They're not representing the ordinary man in the street in Sudan. No. Those two leaders, they represent themselves.
Now, we have a professor friend among us. We have a professor friend who joins us sometime. You know who you are. Shout out to you. I'm not going to call your name out. But, again, we no longer work together, but we work together with this professor friend of ours. And he was saying that if you come to Sudan, they don't want you to stay in the hotel.
Yes.
They're offended. You got to stay with them. Talk a little bit about the culture.
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, the culture in Sudan, if you even not a family member, if you're just a friend to someone in Sudan, if you go to the Sudan and you say that, you know, I will stay in a hotel rather than in your home, he get offended. No, you are my guest. You know, he will open his door for you. He give you a room. He give you a restroom. He give you a food. And, you know, when he come back from work, he will take you to places. This is the culture of Sudan.
Yeah, and my friend was telling us they're serious about it. They were very offended. And so, you know, we just been lied to. I do this show to kill a bunch of, do this show for many reasons. There's a lot of stereotypes about Africa. There's a lot of stereotypes about Muslim people. There's a lot of stereotypes about just the leaders. Folks, if you do your research, check this out. Check this out, what I'm about to say. If you do the resources, those countries that don't have resources, they're relatively peaceful. If all African leaders are so corrupt, why come the countries that don't have resources, hardly, but beans or something, how come they're at peace? And the countries that sit on top of much resources like the Congo and Sudan, why are there always these coups that overthrow the government? It's the West, y'all. It's your tax dollars, your government, your military going in there, destabilizing those areas, causing problems, dividing them up, because we need those resources to have this. And if they eventually have you. No, really.
Yeah. You know, I'm telling you that now. There is a report. Of course, there is no official release from the government of Sudan, and there is no official release from the ministers in Sudan. But there is a report, and we believe that is correct. There is a report saying that now the gold of Sudan is supporting the Russian war with Ukraine. Because it's the same one. Because, you know, the operation, the mining operation in the West, Russia took over it. Yeah. Russia took over it for many years since Hemeti was the leader in Janjaweed. And after that.
Yeah, Janjaweed is.
The Janjaweed and Rabbit Support Force is.
Janjaweed.
JANWWEED.
And Janjaweed is, one more time, we got people, because I know when I first heard it, took me a while, what is Janjaweed again?
Janjaweed is the same militia of Rapid Support Force, but it's two different names. It's when it started, like, its form in the first place was Janjaweed. Yes. Later, the name changed to Rapid Support Force.
RSF. And they're at war against Al-Bashan, General Al-Burhan, and he has the so-called military government of Sudan, and it's also called the SPA or something like that, SL. What's his army called?
This is the formal army of Sudan.
I thought it had a name like
Nisha. Yeah, it's Sudanese Armed Force.
SAF.
SAF, yeah.
No, they actually called it that on CNN.
Yeah, because this is the...
So y'all got to know these codes. SAF is Sudan's formal, but he's a fool, too. His crew's doing all kind of crazy stuff, too. But he's more respected in the international circles because he's a president, but he's a military president. In other words...
It's parliament form.
Yeah. They don't have a democracy like we have, y'all, where they... I'm going to run for president, we vote. It's not quite like that.
No.
Explain that.
Yeah,
well... Hold on. And the reason why I'm going to expose you, we're about to nail down and talk about some horrible things that's going on that these people are doing. We spend a lot of time on the politics so y'all can see just how this all happened. It's just how we're just killing each other. So we got to nail this down to get Westerners to buy into supporting, because some of y'all got so much power. Some of y'all are really connected. Some of y'all know people at the White House even. Some of y'all know people at a lot of these humanitarian
companies or organizations that can help. You know about the these government agencies. Some of you work there. Some of you probably are working there. So I don't underestimate what the Most High can do through Americans. I really don't underestimate what the Most High can do through Sudanese people as well. So we're just trying to help you to see the big picture, that it's not just two knuckleheads fighting, because nobody want to help y'all if that's all it is. Let's just face it. If you're just two leaders that's just fighting each other for no reason and just ignorant, nobody going to help y'all. That's just African problem, yon yon. But if we can show how the West needs Hamidi to be their man in that region to extract, then you can understand the war. So I don't know why people are calling me to just spread with me, folks. So anyway, that's what's happening. We have power, world powers. We have world powers that is in the bed with these leaders. And while they have these leaders, that, I don't know what they're promising, but they don't have to promise them so much because the leaders are already wealthy. They're probably threatening their lives or something. We don't know. There's no way these two men, unless it's just pure evil by evil spirits itself, would control them to have so many women raped, so many men, good men. You see her. She's from that area. She's from that country. Does she look like the type to just go? So I'm saying that's why I wanted to bring you on. I wanted to bring another gentleman on, but he didn't want to come on. So people are worried and fearful. And another thing, I just want to call out a lot of Sudanese people. I want to call you out. Who am I? Well, don't underestimate who I am, because I have the Most High in my life just like a lot of you do. And don't estimate what the Most High could do through people. And I'm saying to you, you're cowards. A lot of Sudanese people are cowards. You need to fight for your country. Fight. Fight back. Push back. You don't have to do no blog like this, but do something. Do something. Do something. Because the Most High is real, and this is your people, and they're dying. These women do not deserve to be raped. A lot of them are virgins. Islam was telling me that a lot of the women just are virgins. They're not like Americans. Why is one of virgins? And they're being raped by these soldiers that's going in because they want to make a statement. Another thing she was telling me, a lot of these rapid support people, Hamidi people, are not even from Sudan. Go figure that out. They're not even from Sudan. So Hamidi called on people, his family and others, to come. At first it was like 4,000. Now they have 100,000 soldiers just wreaking havoc upon their country. It's crazy, y'all. We ain't never seen nothing like this. I mean, Rwanda. Go ahead.
That's between the years 2013 to 2023. Read it, that from 6,000 now became 100,000. And you know, he support this militia from the gold of Sudan. You know, he has no resource other than the mountain gold. And you know, this mountain gold is took over by him under supervision of Omar al-Bashir. You know,
the first gentleman.
This is the first gentleman, yeah.
Knucklehead Jones.
He's not a gentleman.
When I say knucklehead, I mean he wasn't a good guy.
He wasn't.
That's what I mean by knucklehead. We call it knucklehead. Okay.
Yeah, and so he telling him, you know, he asked him to form this militia, and he's telling him, I have nothing to give to you. Just I will give you this mountain of gold and do whatever you want to do with it. Just protect the borders and protect me from this revolution in that fort to come to Sudan.
There we go. You see, what's the name was telling me how much gold he have. But anyway, so listen, brothers and sisters, again, y'all, I'm laughing. I'm trying to keep it light. I'm using my little sense of humor to kind of lighten things up. But folks, it is serious. Listen to this. Your computer keeps dying on me. We're using, let me just log in there. But I remember 14,000. Today, dead. All out in the streets, a lot of times shot before their families.
thousands of women raped. I don't think I ever heard this much rape in all my whole life. It's serious. Thousands, y'all. They're using rape. I've never heard anything like it. I know in biblical times they would take the women, but I don't think they wouldn't rape them. So this is a record amount of people being raped. Right?
Now, you know what?
There's that. And there's 25 million people just scattered out of it. Think about it. There's only 46 million to start with. That's the population of Sudan. Half of them displaced. And a million of them go into neighboring countries. And I hear starvation is almost like 90%. Not starving to where they're dying, but not having adequate amount of food, 90%. That's crazy. That's how many black people there is in America, 40 million. That's like all the black people we know hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Not able to eat three-course meals or whatever, you know, hunger. I can't even imagine. Half the black people in America got to move out of there to go somewhere. I can't imagine.
How would you
that
be your reaction for this? Half of the people of the country displaced from their places.
Committee, and I've never said this ever in public on none of my shows. I've never said this. I'm about to change. I think they deserve death. I think those two gentlemen deserve that. That's my emotions. And my biblical answer might be different, but they have caused 14,000 people to be dead. All they got to do is just, and I think the United States are these so-called powers that caused the problem in the first place. I'm not stupid. And the Arabs, United Arab Emirates, Egyptians, whoever it is, because I hear it, they're all a part in exploiting this country. I mean, they deserve it too. I really think the powers that be that caused this problem, those names I just said, and Russia, China, they need to go in and just say to RSF and everybody else fighting, look, it's over. Yes, we're going to take care of you. Civilians shouldn't have to die. It's rather, wouldn't you rather kill 2,000 or 3,000 of them and then stop the whole thing than to.
There was a special session with for the UN Security Council 2 weeks ago. They voting for to stop the war in Sudan or to stop the conflict in Sudan during Ramadan month.
Which is now.
Yeah. We just now, today is the first day of Ramadan. And, you know, with the majority that the vote for this decision to stop the war in Sudan.
Let me just say what that means. You heard the lady say 90 seconds, operator. What that means is those of you listening on the internet, if you want to call us, you have 90 seconds to call us. If you want to call us, the number is 914-205-5590. 914-205-5590. I'm going to be honest with you. Go ahead and call, and we'll try to get to your question. Just go ahead and call us. We don't know if we're going to get to your question because it's long. I have a lot to say, but we'll try. 914-205-5590. She is not swinging second gear yet. Trust me, there's a lot more coming your way. This is a lot worse than y'all think, okay? It's a lot worse than you think because guess what? There's no end to the war in sight. These numbers could quadruple. If as long as this war goes on, Sudan is being just, I don't know what else to say. The resource is being taken like crazy. People are dying like crazy. And I don't think committee or General Al Burhan is really wanting this. I think they're forced to do this. I think some other player is forcing their hand. They're probably crying at night. I don't know what it's like to be a leader over that kind of wealth.
I don't think they're just wanting this. I think they hate it. And so if somebody else is controlling their dreams, this could never end. I'm not going to say never, but this could go on another 10 years. And they'll look up and they won't have no resources, zero. And that's probably what these players want. So what Brother Seth is trying to do, along with his sister, I'll call her my sister, is we're trying to show you the big picture and why y'all need to get involved. Everybody don't have the same amount of resources. I have this little blog, this little platform I have. But some of y'all have bigger platforms. Some of y'all know some people's a big platform. Some of y'all uncles and aunts run some things. We need to put a fire on everybody we can and let them know that our Sudanese people are in trouble. And for the most part, if you call yourself a Muslim or call yourself a Christian and you really say you're all about the Most High and what he wants, it's your duty. That's one reason I'm doing this show. It's my duty. Those are my people dying. Those are my people being raped. I look at this sister, you know, again, she's new to the job. She's no longer working there. She just came through there just to get her feet in the door probably. You probably took the first company kiss, came in. I looked at her resume. I'm like, why are you here in this job? I mean, voted top attorneys in Africa, not the nation of Africa, the continent. And you got to see her flow to even appreciate that. So I'm going to let her go ahead and finish. Again, y'all, I'm jumping in here to let y'all know what we're doing, what we're trying to do, our goals, what we're about, and then she'll get into the technical aspects of Sudan politics and so forth. That's why I'm here, just trying to be the best host I can. Y'all, this is serious. Some of y'all are looking at me saying, what can you do? What can we do? Listen,
the reason if we're
underestimate yourself, what the Most High can do through us.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct, Brothers. And you know, there is an effort done by the national organization and international organization, and Saudi Arabia is one of these supporters to stop the war in Sudan. It's through Jeddah negotiation.
Who?
Saudi Arabia.
They're what?
They are supporting to stop the war in Sudan.
That's a good Saudi Arabia, because some of them, there are parties in Saudi Arabia that is exploiting Sudan, and you know it.
And you know,
but there are another part, just like people in the West. There's good people in the West like me that's not for the exploitation. That's other people in the West are saying, yes, we need their resources. So just have to say it. But go ahead. What's the good ones doing? The good Saudi Arabia?
You know, it's for the benefit of Saudi Arabia, this conflict to stop. Because
how is it benefit?
Okay, Saudi Arabia is Saudi Arabia with Sudan side. The Sudan side, they because as I told you, the coming crisis, it could be the food security, and they know that Sudan has millions of hectares for agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
Millions of what?
Hectares.
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 What's spell it? I've never heard that word. What is it?
It's a land of agriculture, like a land for agriculture investment.
Okay, millions.
Yeah, millions. And Saudi Arabia is one of the investors.
They have what? Hectares? What do you call
hectares.
It? Spell it.
Is Q-U-R-A hectares.
I never heard of that one. So that's just a new name altogether. You probably pronounce it right. I just never heard of it. They have millions of
Yes.
You said like acres?
Yes, it's like that.
It's similar. Okay, so it's a different measure. Okay, good. Thank you for educating us. We didn't know that. All right, millions of acres of?
Agriculture land. And let me tell you something. Saudi Arabia is the first agriculture investor in Sudan.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, Saudi Arabia, they have oil and gas, but as I told you, the coming crisis is a food security. Sudan can cover 30% of the food security for the world. And, you know, all this agricultural land is not used yet, all of it. So Saudi Arabia, one of the top investments. Actually, the first country investment, agricultural investor in Sudan.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's for the benefit of Saudi Arabia, this one should be stopped.
Wow. Brothers and sisters, I hope y'all can kind of hear the urgency, hear the cry. We're very calm. We're not emotional to this morning, this afternoon. We're just trying our best to just articulate clearly what is going on. I've told y'all what I feel. Believe it or not, Islam is on a mission. She wants to go on the lighter side, and I'm on the more deviant side. I want to establish the fact, like we've done over 600 shows, we've done over 600 shows now, talking about how the West was born, so to speak, or how the West is winning, West meaning United States, Europe, the arrogance that they have in chopping up Africa in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They're going in and raping. And I meant what I said earlier when I said go look at the countries that don't have resources. They don't have to overthrow their governments. Go look at the Congo and Sudan and other places, Sierra Leone, where they have a lot of wealth, and you'll see problems all the time. Folks, it's serious. Like our good professors say, our friend of ours, they actually have to have military-style governments, because you don't have to deal with trying to get a vote through a nation. You just deal with one person, a committee, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happened. That's why all Africans, why somebody people say, well, why are all African leaders corrupt? That's why all African leaders seem corrupt, because of the bullies that come in. I want you to go ahead and finish. I'm going to let her just go, and I'm not going to say much. We do have a little noise on the other side here, y'all, where we're at. We have to kind of, other people want these offices or this area, so just know that. You may hear other voices, but we're going to speak up, and hopefully y'all can hear us as we bring this home. And again, how can you get involved? How can you get involved? You can get involved using your resources. I don't know what your resources are. I don't know who you know. Some of y'all can make a phone call and they can know about this quickly. Some of y'all know all types of representatives for the United States, and you can just solve this quickly. Not stop. Excuse me. You can influence others to get involved. And it don't take a war. It don't take the United States to go in there and do the things I was saying earlier. It can just, again, let our minds wander. All types of things can cause change. And so we just got to, first of all, believe in ourselves and believe that the Most High can use us and quit thinking and making jokes out of the fact that we're just on a blog or we're just talking. No, it ain't never just all talk. Any war that ever happened in this planet started with a conversation. So, yes, I'm waging war in my own way. If nothing else, pray. Some of you not a prayer in the spirit. Some of you don't know what I just said, but some of you not a prayer in the spirit. Some of you not a prayer. Some of you not a touching the greed. Do whatever you do to cause change. Go ahead, Islam. You got the last ledge, and just go ahead and have at it.
Okay, let me continue where we stopped, Lee. And mentioned that the central cause of tension since 2019 after Bashir, uprising has been that the civilian demand for oversight of the military and the integration of rapid support force, you know, into the regular armed force.
Mm-hmm.
Civilians have also called for the handover of profitable military holding in agriculture, trade industries. Yes, they're putting their hands on this.
Really?
Yes. The civilian, one of their call is that to hand over all that to the civilian government. So, The international and local society put pressure for the government in Khartoum,
mm-hmm.
and put pressure over the pressure on the civilian government and Al-Burhan. And let me, before that, when this Sovereignty Council was formed after Al-Bashir, took over and formed the Sovereignty Council, there is a civil government come after that. This council was head or the chairman of that civilian government was Al-Burhan, and Himeti was a deputy chairman. And there was Prime Minister Hamadaki, his economic expert, working in different international organizations. And other the ministers, this is the first civilian government formed after the revolution. So at that time, Hamadaki took... Hamadok took over the position of prime minister, and he did a very good effort, you know, to take the Sudan out of the sanction list and economic support for the civilian government. But unfortunately, with the military coup in 2021. In 2021, Prime Minister Hamadok was took over by Al-Burhan, unfortunately. And this is was the end of the civil government, in Sudan. This military coup was in October 2021 by Al-Burhan. You know, okay, so he took over the country, but the international and local community put pressure on the two leaders, Al-Burhan and Himeti. For both of them, because they took over the civilian government. So the international local community put pressure on the two leaders to hand over the government to the civilian, and there is a draft was prepared for the transition, how it would take place, including military arrangement, which is the main reason for this war, which stimulated the inclusion of the rapid support force in the army. There was a great disagreement about the method, the duration, and who is the leader, which led to the war taking place now. So this arrangement was the main issue between the two leaders. The army led by Al-Burhan, they asked for 5 years to integrate the rapid support force to the army, normal army, but the leader of the rapid support force thinks that these 5 years is not enough for this mission. Al-Burhan, during that time, he thinks that Himeti, maybe he have another plan, so maybe he has different plans for that, and there is a fight, actually, between the two leaders about this military arrangement, how it will take place, and who is going to be the leader, and the duration of this military agreement. But let me give you background about the two leaders. Abdel Fattah al-Burhan is a Sudanese army who is a de facto ruler of Sudan. Burhan studied elementary and intermediate level in his village, and he moved out to another village for his high school education. He graduated from the Sudanese Army College, and he traveled abroad for his postgraduate study. Yes, for a couple of years. He was there for a couple of years. And he took training outside of Sudan. Regarding Hemeti, Hemeti is a Sudanese, attended primary school after the grade 3. He received no more formal education. Hemeti have spread common prayer to his leader of the Janjaweed. As I mentioned, the Janjaweed and Rebel Support Force is the same military group, the same military group, but different name, started as Janjaweed and literally became Rebel Support Force. He has a bad history. This guy, he has a bad history in that war.
Horrible history,
yes. It's a war crime against humanity, genocide, and he's fugitive by the International Criminal Court. His battle was war of that war. And the military coup in Sudan in 2021. And the war now is going in Sudan.
And he's a couple behind a lot of this. Now, again, I don't, me personally, that's Islam speaking. And I do think he is a wannabe. He wants the throne, so to speak. He's caused a lot of trouble going around the world, even to the White House, trying to get attention, you know, as under leader. But again, both of these leaders are being played by the big guys, the handlers, and they're ripping apart Sudan. We can't lay it out to you no better than that. It's not just about these two leaders. Folks, listen, we're going to wrap this up. We may do a part two. We don't know because there's so many things happening. And remember, according to everybody, there is no end to this war in sight. There's no end to it. These guys look like they're going to back down. If that's the case, these handlers will just keep going until there is no more Sudan, as we know it, as far as resources. So it's not just the people. It's not just the people dying. It's a little more difficult than Rwanda, because Rwanda had almost a million people that died. Yes, they did. But Rwanda's resources, because they don't have much resources, wasn't tampered with. This is a raping of both the people and the resources. We've never seen nothing like this war. Never seen nothing like it. So war on the country itself, war on the people. Salah.
Yes, Salah. I want to thank the Pathetic Storm Network for this chance, because, you know, you give me a chance to tell the people out of Sudan what's going on in Sudan. And it's not like, first of all, it's not normal. It's not normal about a worry that you hear about it all the time going in Africa. But this is a Sudanese, again, it's Sudanese. We don't know what's the behind of that. And, you know, with this blackout, no media talk about it, I really appreciate this chance, and thank you for being me here, taking me here, and you know, you give me the chance to talk about what's going on in my country.
Well, you're welcome. And like I said, we're supposed to have another gentleman on. He don't want to come on. I think he's worried about, I think he was worried about backlash. You know, that's another thing. Folks, we got to have backbone, and we got to trust this Most High. Allow some of you calling in Saudi Arabia, speaking in Sudan. And others of you calling God in the West, or whatever you call the Most High, call on them, and call on them now. And remember, the scripture says, don't call on them if you don't believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe and trust the Most High. Prayer is the most powerful thing you can do, not the United Nations, not the humanitarian efforts, not even war machines, but answer them on time. That's all there is to it. And he has a way of shutting it down. And when he shuts it down, it's just, so that's all we have. But I do think some of you, I don't think he just goes to just pray, because when we pray, guess what? We ask him, He is going to answer. And whatever he tells you, listen to me, brother, this is the most important thing I'm going to say. Whatever he tells you, do it. Don't estimate your efforts, my efforts, because the Most High works through people. We are his hands, his feet throughout the earth. That's the biggest thing we can do. It changed governments. It set up nations. What? Prayer and trust, faith. It's all about faith. Yes, it is. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Because these people have faith. They believe in materials. That's why they won the war in the first place. I'm going to go out with, again, this most popular artist in Sudan. His name is?
Mahmoud Abdelaziz.
I'm going to go out with one of his songs. And, again, we thank you for tuning in to the Five Song Song Network. Stay tuned. We may do a part two. We don't really know yet. I want to thank you again for coming on. I really, really appreciate you.
Thank you for this chance.
And I'm
sure. Thank you for this one.
Yes, and I'm sure I'll speak to those that used to work with us, that used to work with Islam, rather. I'm still there. That's looking at you and saying, oh, thank you. So I'm sure they thank you as well for coming to this country, stolen property, and delivering us the word. Okay? So we're going to bow out again. Stay tuned. We may do a part two, maybe not. But either way, next week, next month, I'm going to be coming at you from another, we have a Kenyan Brother John moderator. He's going to be doing a part two to his trip over in Kenya. Actually, part three. We may have him on, or may have on his sister again if things escalate in Sudan. So either way, go, Brother Fisk will be back next Monday with the podcast either in Kenya or we go back to Saudi Arabia by way of our sister here right here in the States, okay? As I say every broadcast, I love every single one of you, and there is nothing you can do about it. I say I love every single one of you. That means you in Sudan, and there's nothing you can do about it.
كل ذره يا كل ذره